Thank you, Mark, for your welcome. And as always, it's good to visit you. I trust that the Lord is encouraging you and blessing you during these days. I've been on the Christian path now for a few years. And I have to say this, that I would say in the years of my pilgrimage with the Lord, perhaps the last few years have been the most difficult. I don't want to discourage you, but sometimes it goes like that, doesn't it? You feel it's just hard going. And it's such a blessing to come to God's Word, and especially the Psalms. Because when you read the Psalms, you can almost feel the heartbeat of the writer, of the psalmist. Because he's telling you as it is. He's not painting a flowery picture or just putting on a mask. He's telling us about his doubts and his fears and his problems and his difficulties. And he's just bringing it out into the open, and he's just bringing it to the Lord. And the Psalms are so encouraging. They are such a blessing, and full of trust and praise, the praise of God. And that in every part of life's situations, we come to God and we bring them to Him, and we will know His blessing. And I just love these Psalms that we've been singing tonight, and thank you for your fellowship. It's lovely to just join with you in this song of worship and praise to our great God. I want to stay in the Psalms because I want us to consider some of the names of God over these few weeks that, God willing, I will be with you. I think the plan is that on the first Sunday of the month I come along to just share this time of fellowship with you. Last time we looked at Psalm 91, well, one name in Psalm 91. I want to turn to that psalm again tonight. Last time we thought of the first name of God that we read in these psalms. It is the Most High. That is a name of God, the Most High One. These psalms were written in the Hebrew language. And the name for Most High, the Hebrew for Most High is El Elyon. El is God, and Elyon is the one who is above all things. The Most High God. The one who is supreme, the one who is sovereign, the one who is above everything. The one who is in control. And I suggest to you tonight that even that is encouraging, isn't it? That the world isn't just spinning helplessly out of control. The world isn't governed by some alignment of stars or something. The world isn't controlled by luck or fate or chance. No, there is God. And God is sovereign. And He is in control. And although we find it difficult to come to terms with this sometimes, when our situations change perhaps and we think, well, why is this happening? It's good to know that God is in control, and God is working out everything according to the counsel of His own will. Now, we might not always understand that. That's where He calls us to trust and obey, and to follow His commands, and to stay close to Him, and to hear His word. Yes, and so we were thinking about that last time. The Most High. And the first reference to the Most High we found was when Abraham met Melchizedek, who was called the King of Salem, King of Righteousness and King of Peace, and was priest of the Most High. And that's the first usage of the word Most High in Scripture. And of course, Melchizedek is closely linked and is a forerunner and is a type and is a symbol of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we come to the book of Hebrews towards the end of the New Testament, we see that linkage. That Christ is a priest after the order of Melchizedek He's a king and he's a priest. He's king of righteousness and he's king of peace. And his is an everlasting priesthood. It's not like the priests on earth who were in the Old Testament, who were just for a time. Here is the fulfillment of it all. So we only know God in connection with Jesus. That's the only way we ever know God. It's through the person and the work of Christ. And the psalmist begins Psalm 91 and he says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High and praise God because of the ministry of our Savior," we can know that dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. We can know God because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'd like to read the psalm, and we're going to think tonight of the second name in this wonderful psalm. And it's there in verse 1, at the end of verse 1, the Almighty. But let's read the psalm first. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with an eye shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." And may the Lord be pleased to bless the reading of his own word and our meditation upon it. This psalm, some say, was written by Moses. Tradition amongst the Jewish writers and the rabbis was that when a psalm isn't accredited to any particular writer, you assume that it follows on from the psalm before. And we see that in Psalm 90, that Moses is, according to the notes there, would be the writer of that psalm. So in many people's eyes, they say, well, Moses was the writer of this psalm. And the setting really is that arduous journey across the desert. Very difficult journey. And during the difficulties of life's journey across that wilderness from Egypt to the land of promise, when they met this problem and that situation and this difficulty, then this psalm finds its setting there. So it's very apt and appropriate for all of life, isn't it? As we journey through our lives, whether we're at the early start of it or we're in the middle or towards the end of it, it's good to know that here is a word from God to us. And the testimony of these people in Old Testament times, and the testimony particularly of his servant here, when he writes, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." So here we are introduced to this second name for God, Almighty. It appears about 50 times in the Old Testament. In the book of Genesis, where it's mentioned first, it's God Almighty. But when we move out of Genesis, we just read the Almighty. In Hebrew, God Almighty would be El Shaddai. Now, that's how we normally say it. I think the correct pronunciation of it would be Shaddai. I find it difficult to say that. Shaddai, right? El Shaddai. I'll most probably slip into El Shaddai because that's what I've been saying all my life. Okay, so forgive me, but the correct pronunciation would be Shaddai. So if I was to read this in the Hebrew, with the names in the Hebrew, we would read, He that dwelleth in the secret place of El Elyon shall abide under the shadow of Shaddai, or Shaddai, as we say. What does Shaddai mean? We ask the question because it is possible for us to live our lives under the shadow of Shaddai. It is possible to live life knowing the complete contentment of dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty, the one who loves us and cares for us and provides all that we need, the one who gives to us what we possibly cannot meet for ourselves, the one who gives of himself for us. It is possible to know such a place. The psalmist is saying, listen, here is what is important. When you travel across this wilderness, when you travel across this desert, when you face all of life's situation, it is impossible to know the secret of contentment. And the challenge for us tonight is, how much of this safety and security and care and just the joy of Christian contentment, how much of that are we entering into? How much of that do we really know? Well, we might know about it. We might know, we might be able to say, my God shall supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Jesus. We might know these great texts, but in reality, in an experimental way, are we living in the light of these wonderful truths? The psalmist is saying, as we journey across this wilderness, oh, it's wonderful to know that I can abide under the shadow of Almighty. Shaddai, the one who is all powerful, the one who is almighty. Now, we want to get the right picture of the word here. Because what the psalmist is saying to us and what scripture is saying to us is, it's not so much somebody who's so powerful it's beyond words. It's not somebody who is so strong it's frightening. The power of God is awesome. I'm not saying that. The power of God is greater than any power. And in that sense, he is the Almighty. But in this name, what it means is, here is the one who has the ability to carry out his own purposes and will. Right? That's at the core of the name. That here is one who has the power to bring to fruition his plan. And not his plan in a global sense, but his plan in an individual way as well. Which is quite exciting, isn't it? I hope you think that's exciting. But this one who is the Almighty, this one whom we call in tonight Shaddai, he has the concern and the care for the world, but specifically for you. And he offers this invitation to come into this place of contentment and safety and security for God's people. Now let's hear that invitation tonight. Let's hear that message. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of Shaddai. And last time, and I want to follow the same pattern this time, we want to say, well, when was this name? When was this name first given in Scripture? Because I think that's significant. When God chooses that right moment in history and in time to say, I want to introduce myself now as Shaddai. We want to investigate that, because that will tell us what God wants us to grasp about this name. And of course, the first mention of it is in the book of Genesis. And I'd like us to turn to that book. And chapter 17. And I'm going to read a few verses, because it'll explain to us much of the significance of this name. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, now here's the first mention, I am El Shaddai. You've not heard this name before, Abram? I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant before me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Now, Abram is 99 years old, and he hasn't got a child. Right? El Shaddai is saying to him, I'm going to make you a mighty people. Thou shalt be the father of many nations. Verse 5, neither shalt thy name be any more called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations shall I make thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant before me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, and an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abram, thou shalt keep my covenant therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is the covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in their generations. He is that is born in thy house, or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. Verse 15, and God said unto Abram, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, and I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Now verse 17, and Abram fell on his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto a man that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abram said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Ishmael was his child by another, Hagar. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee, behold, I will bless him, and so on. And verse 22, and he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abram. And what is all that about? were many things. But God is saying, listen, Abram, we are entering into a covenant here. I am making a covenant with you. Now, it's not a covenant of equals. You can have a friendship or an agreement between equals. But here is a covenant between God and Abram. And God is saying to Abram, in this covenant, I will supply all you will need. You are completely unable, but I am able. You cannot do it, Abram. You are past it. You are physically, you are past fulfilling some of these promises. But I am wonderfully able to do far more than what you even think or imagine. My name is El Shaddai. Right? And Abram, so that you get the point, so that you get the message now, Abram, as a sign of this arrangement, as a sign of this binding agreement between us, that it's not of you, it's of me. You are completely unable, but I am gloriously able. As a sign of this agreement, I want you to cut off the flesh of your male descendants. So that let this simple act be a reminder to you that it's not of your flesh. It's not of you, but it's of me. See? El Shaddai. It's of me. El Shaddai. The powerful one. The one who cares for you. The one who is gloriously able. Just like a mother takes the child to herself, the nursing child, and holds it to herself, and gives of herself to the baby. The baby is completely unable, completely incapable of fending for itself, of finding food for itself. Has to do everything for that little one. That is the picture here of El Shaddai. In fact, many Hebrew scholars say the root of this word Shaddai, the root of it is this word Shad, which means the breast. And here is God saying to Abraham, you cannot do it, but I'm taking you to myself, and I'm going to nurse you, and I'm going to give of myself to you. I'm going to meet your every need, Abraham. You cannot do it, but I will do it. What a wonderful picture of God. Last time we were thinking of the one who is sovereign and Lord of all things. And the only way we can know him is through our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read that in Genesis, chapters before this one. But now we come to the second name in Scripture. Shaddai. This one who is high and mighty and sovereign is the one who will take you to himself and fold you to his bosom and say, I will care you. I will care for you. I will of myself provide that life and give you all that you need so that you can just nestle in the total sufficiency that I am for you. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful picture the psalmist is painting for us here. The one who abides under the shadow of Shaddai. You know, have you seen that picture of, or I'm sure you've seen it, of a mother with a newborn child, and she takes the child to herself, and she's nursing it there, and the child is just feeding and being just content there, and then after the feeding of the child, she will turn the child over and bring up any wind or anything like that, and then you have those lovely sounds, those gurgles, you know them, don't you? Those lovely gurgling sounds, and it's just sheer contentment.
And that's what the psalmist is saying. Oh, it's wonderful to know God. Here we are, we are crossing this desert, and there's complaints here, there's complaints there, and we run out of water, and we're complaining about eating bread all the time, and they want meat, and so on. And then we are facing these enemies, and there seems to be an endless supply of enemies just waiting for us over the next horizon. Oh, but when all that is happening around about us, but it's lovely. It's wonderful to know that we're in the hands of Shaddai. And he's bringing us through this. I've almost been in Ireland now as long as I was in Wales.
Wow.
There we are. And I was 35 when we came to Ireland. So, there we are. Well, in Wales we used to sing this hymn. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Saviour, hide. Till the storm of life is past, safe into the haven guide, you'll receive my soul at last. Lovely, isn't it? It's lovely to know that we're in the shelter of El Shaddai. Of Shaddai, as it is here. Later on in the psalm, he goes on to say, verse 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. I remember once we were out in Romania. And it was quite hot and oppressive, and they said there was a thunderstorm brewing, and you could see it coming. You could see these thick black clouds coming, and then it started to rain, and really big drops of rain. Well, this is the picture that I remember from then, right? This sort of a dirt road down through this village, and all the animals around and everything else. But there was this, you could hear the claps of thunder in the distance, and there's this chicken. This chicken in the middle of the road. And from nowhere, all these little chicks came. They came out like this, and there's the mother hen, and out went her wings, and come here, boys. She had all the chicks around her like that, and they were hiding under the wings of the chick. And the psalmist is saying, oh, when life throws up its storms, when things happen that really throw us, and we wonder what's happening here, oh, it's wonderful that we can fly. We can fly to this refuge. And there he is with his wings outstretched to us. And he gathers us in. And underneath those wings, have you ever felt underneath a chicken's wing? It's nice and soft. Soft and warm. Right? And out there, it's a thunderstorm. Out there is lightning and thunder and whatever else is happening during this wild storm. But inside, underneath, it's soft, and it's warm, and it's safe. He shall cover thee with his feathers. We read this picture many times through Scripture. Remember Boaz saying to Ruth, you've come and you've found refuge under his wings. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. It's not what we can do. It's not what we can achieve. What he calls us to do is to say, Lord, will you trust me? Will you come and just simply trust and abide under the shadow of the Almighty?
The word abide, in your margin, it might say something like you can.
I think the word in the original is you can stay overnight. You can lodge overnight. In other words, here we are. We are crossing this desert and this storm is coming. But here's a place that you can stay till the storm is past. Right? Here's a place of safety. Here's a place of rest. Of course, the hymnist Charles Wesley, he says, till the storm of life is past, safe into the haven guide, you receive my soul at last. The application then is that it's not us, it's God. Right? It's all of God. In fact, we go as far to say is, if God said to us, well look, I'll do 90% of it, you have to do 10%. Oh, I'll do 99% of it, you do 1%. Do you know what? I wouldn't be happy with that, because that 1%, that's the flaw. That's the flaw. But when God says, look, it's not of you, it's all of me. Trust and obey. Oh Lord, just help us to realize what you've done for us in Christ. And what was true for our salvation, i.e., that it was all what Jesus did for us on the cross. Nothing of ourselves. It was all of him. What was true of our salvation, it's true of our Christian life too. It must be of him. Then may we trust him and put our confidence fully in him. And may we say with the apostle Paul in Galatians, as it, it's no longer I, but it's Christ that liveth in me. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Father, we thank thee so much for thy precious word. Oh, what a joy it is, Lord, to have it in our hands, to be able to read it. And Lord, we just thank thee for the great privilege of being together to study thy word in this way. Thank thee, Lord, for all thy blessings to us. Oh, what a great God. And Father, if it wasn't written in thy word, we wouldn't believe it. But it's written there for our instruction, for our correction, for our guidance, and for our teaching. Father, help us to feed on it, to inwardly digest it, to apply it, and to live in the light of it. We humbly pray. Bless, Lord. Bless thy people in this place. Encourage them. And Father, we bring to thee any special need right now. And Father, we thank thee for pointing us to the place of safety and contentment. Father, may we know it and experience it, we pray. And to thee be all the honor, glory, and praise. We ask it in our Saviour's precious name. Amen.